Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Stories Show with Terrence Leftridge, where we talk to ordinary people with unstoppable stories. Now here's your host, life accountability coach, Terrence Leftridge.
Hey, hey, out there, you guys in Blog Talk Radio, Facebook Live, and Periscope. It is an unstoppable day. I'm your host, Terrence Leftridge, with the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge on blogtalkradio.com, and we are streaming live on Periscope and on Facebook. So shout out to you guys. Welcome. As you can see, if you're watching us on Facebook or if you're watching us on Periscope, I've got my nuttier than a fruitcake, but my ride or die, my lovely wife here, Sharon John Leftridge, who is co-hosting with us this evening. Hey,
hey, hey out there. What's going on?
And how are you this lovely evening?
I'm okay. A little tired, but I'm good.
Well, good. I am so glad that you decided to join us tonight on the Unstoppable Stories Show, the Love Series Edition. All this month, we're going to be talking about different types of love and giving you unstoppable stories related to love. And tonight, we just wanted to start off the month on a fun note, talking about love, family, marriages specifically. So if you are a married couple, or if you know any married couples that want to have some fun and talk about their unstoppable stories, then you know what to do. You can go ahead and just dial in to 323-870-3764. That's 323-870-3764. Or if you're watching us on Facebook Live, my boy Adam Farmer is, go ahead and show us some hearts. Go ahead and tell some friends that the Unstoppable Story Show is talking about love on a Tuesday night in February. We've got a great guest couple that's coming up tonight, and we're going to be introducing them shortly. But we decided, you know, I do this show a lot. I've been doing this show for over 6 months in its current form, and I've done it before on Blog Talk Radio, as well as I've done the TV version of it on Google Hangouts. But it's always just been me. And so I said, what it would be just a great ideal just to have for the month of February, the month of love, to have my ride or die, my lovely wife Sharon here on the show with us tonight. Sharon and I have been married now for
14 years. Yeah, 14. Yeah, that sounds about right.
You know, if she says 14, that's
yeah,
what I'm going to.
That's what it
14
is.
14 years. 14 glorious.
Oh,
14
yes.
Lovely.
Oh,
14
yeah.
Magnificent. Mm-hmm. 14, I wouldn't have it any other way. Years
right.
Of wedded bliss.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Whatever you said.
Mm-hmm. And so.
Happy life, happy wife, happy wife, happy life.
You got it.
How does that all go?
Ditto,
yeah,
ditto.
You know.
All of the above, all of the above. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I wanted to have Sharon on the show tonight is just to talk about love, you know, and our experiences of love. We get to tell our story of how we met often to our friends, and just and when we travel, we tell the story, and it always seems to just amaze people when we tell the story. Probably my version more so than her version.
Mine.
But since this is all about love and I love this woman right here, I'm going to let her tell the story of how the Leftridges first met.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, honey.
Uh-huh. Well, it was in May 1999 in Cancun. I was vacationing with two of my best friends, and Terrence was vacationing with some friends of his, a couple of that he knows that he went with, that he was a third wheel. And on our very first night, my friends and I, of course, we went downtown Cancun and got out in the middle of the street and started dancing. And I love dancing. So if I hear music, I'm going to break out into a dance. And all of a sudden, this guy, literally just came up on me like he knew me and started dancing with me. And, you know, I couldn't believe it. I just kept dancing. I started dancing with them. I'm going to give you the clip note version because it's kind of long. So that same night, one of my good friends was drunk. But this guy here, Terrence, he followed us all night long.
All night long.
He followed me and my two girlfriends the whole night. And they were like, when are you going to dump this guy? When are you going to dump this guy? Why is he all only like you're his woman? So, anywho.
14 years later, you know why,
later,
right?
I'm here. I must say one thing. He was a perfect gentleman. He sent roses to my room in Cancun. Oh, my God. Who does that? I was in the shower. My friends were at the pool. And I get a knock on the door. And all of a sudden, it's the bell guy with a dozen of roses. I nearly melted.
Yes. You know, we do it real big in the Left for Tato. You know, we see, we go, we conquer. Yes, indeed. So go ahead, tell them the rest of it.
I think you left. Well, we went out to dinner. We did have a dinner date. That was our date in Cancun, was our first date. And if I'm not mistaken, you were leaving the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just gotten there. So we still had a few days left. We exchanged AOL information.
That's
AOL.
How long ago that was.
We would chat via AOL. I got
you
back.
You got mail.
Yeah. We would do the instant chat on AOL. I'm like, wow, oh my. And so for 2 years, this guy right here, he pursued me for 2 years. I am from New Jersey. I am from
New
Jersey.
Shout out Jersey.
Shout out Jersey. Love my Jersey peeps. I'm always going to be a Jersey girl. Y'all know that. Terrence is from Chicago. And yes, he proposed to me in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And we got married in 2002. We got married in New Jersey. But prior to that, I said that I was never moving to Chicago. I was never. He loves that part. He loved that. He loved it. I said I was never moving to Chicago. No. It was always
Don't ask me. I'm not coming.
So for 14 years now, I've been living in Chicago. And so we got married July 2002. And the rest is history because I'm still in Chicago.
The rest is history. And I just want to say in front of the millions of people that's going to watch this live on social media, Periscope, and Facebook Live, shout out to Casey Bizboss, who's watching us on Periscope. Shout out to Adam Farmer, who's watching us right now on Facebook Live. And you guys listening in Blog Talk Radio land, you know, as we'll probably see as we go through the show tonight, marriage is not easy. We're not going to sugarcoat anything.
No.
You know, I started out by saying that it's been 14 years of bliss. Well, there's probably been 14 years of some other B words that I will not say But that's what marriage is all about. And we tell everybody that, you know, there's a difference between marriage and being married. The marriage ceremony is the day. This all the gliss, all the glamour, all the white dress, the tuxedo, the guest, the cake. Being married is work. And, you know, I'm so glad that this woman right here decided that she wanted to put in 14 years and counting worth of work with a little old guy like me who tells everybody that he's unstoppable. So, you know, I just want to thank you, baby.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. And so she's going to hang out for a little while. But we've got another unstoppable guest, another unstoppable couple, even though they don't call themselves unstoppable. They call themselves the EEMDs. And no, they're not doctors. But they like to call themselves just your extraordinary, everyday married duos. And they go by the name of Sean and Dorian Nash. This extraordinary couple are the authors of the soon-to-be-released book, Do You Love Me Still? And you guys, if you're out there watching and listening, you're probably going to come up with a couple of times where in your marriage or in your relationship where you've had to ask that question of your spouse or of your mate. Do you love me still? When the bills aren't paid on time, do you love me still? When the argument is just hitting the roof, do you love me still? When death happens to your side of the family or her side of the family or your child, do you love me still? So many different instances of where you may have had to say that over the course of your relationship. And so we've got this great couple that's asking the question, do you love me still? And they believe that the book that they're going to put out is going to speak to all marriages. But in particular, it speaks to couples thinking about getting married or recently married. Okay, Candy. Candy said, no, that's why I dumped him in the river. Thank you so much. Appreciate that. That's what we want tonight. We want your raw, unadulterated comments as we talk about love tonight.
Yes.
So Sean and Doreen have been 17 years and have faced many of the same obstacles and challenges that most everyday couples face in their marriages. And within this book, they're going to talk about getting married, various relationship topics ranging from finance, fidelity, and romance. And I'm so glad that these two have decided to come on our show tonight to talk about love, talk about marriage, and to help you answer the question of do you love me still? So without further ado, we are going to bring on to the show our guests for the evening, Sean and Dorian Nash. Sean and Dorian, are you guys on the call?
Hey there. Yes, we are here.
Hey. How are you?
We're good.
We're doing really well. So glad to be here with you guys tonight.
Thank you so much for taking some time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the Love Series edition of the Unstoppable Stories show. So we're going to let you guys jump right in. And first, I want to know from each one of you what it means to be unstoppable in your marriage.
Okay, baby, you go ahead.
Well, I don't mind if I do, baby. So for me, being unstoppable is always being willing to accept whatever challenge that comes your way as a couple and remaining true to the commitment that you made when you said I do. And those challenges comes in many forms. I mean, and that's a little bit what we're talking about in our book, some of the challenges that we faced through our courtship, through marriage. We had kids right off the bat, so we didn't have that quote-unquote honeymoon period that a lot of couples have, and facing those challenges head-on, committed together as partners, and knowing that with that commitment, that the effort that you put in to overcome those challenges will be there. So there's that level of having faith in each other and establishing that trust in each other to be able to overcome anything that gets in your way in terms of how you achieve as partners. And that's a lot of, you know, what this project is about and even the process behind the project. I mean, you talked about it. Being married is work. Yeah. I like to call it a labor of love. Emphasis on the labor and love, right?
So definitely.
It's that type of commitment, knowing that you have to put in the work to get the product at the end of a great marriage and a great partnership. And when you know that, you do feel like there's nothing that you can't do together.
And
wow.
Hence the word unstoppable. I love it. So you know what? We talked about how we got together. You know, I know you guys, and I know Dorian really loves to talk. I mean, really can express herself fully.
Wow.
I mean, she really.
Right, 5 minutes in.
She's a spokesperson for the relationship. So, Dorian, why don't you tell us how you guys first met, and then we'll have Sean tell the great story about the courtship.
Well, when Sean and I met, you know, we met online. And so we, like I said, we've been married for 17 years, and so back then I felt like so far long ago, but meeting online, everybody does it now, but back then it was still kind of new. And I remember initially feeling like, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, that's not for me. I was, you know, I just wasn't interested initially. And even when I did go online, it was more under just wanting to have a real conversation, because at the time I was living in California, and no disrespect to California, but at that time it seemed like everybody that I went on a date with was either had a CD or a demo, or I'm like, are there any real people?
They all wanted
and
something.
So I just wanted to, you know, have a real conversation, and so I felt like the only way that I can make that happen was maybe to connect back to my Chicago roots. So I went online, but you can determine what area you want to connect with, and I connected back to Chicago. And I'm like, well, you know, I made the profile. I didn't add my picture because I'm still not sure about this whole thing. And I'm thinking to myself, so, you know, what do I do? What do I say? You know, I like to think of myself as a good girl, and so I didn't want to be too forward or anything like that. And I remember one of the first profiles that I saw was Sean's. And what struck me about his profile was that he was, you know, he was funny, but he wasn't vulgar. He was a gentleman. But he seemed like, if anything, we would have a great conversation. And that's really truth, you know, from the bottom of my heart. At that moment, that's really all that I was seeking. So,
I
see his profile, and I'm like, well, what do I do? How do I, you know, connect with this dude without coming across as too forward? Because a lot of times you expect the man to make the first move, but, you know, here I am trying to reach out to this brother. So I wrote to him, hey, I read your profile. I would love to have a conversation. Write back if you're so inclined. And I sent it off, because I felt like if he wrote back, then he saw my profile and he was interested back. But if he didn't write back, no love lost, you know. And, you know, 17 years and two kids later, you can figure out that he wrote back.
Yeah.
I mean, who uses "you are so inclined"? I mean, how can you not write back to that? I'm like, that's old school right there. You don't, "if you are so inclined." I mean, that was the hook right there.
Wow.
So, ladies,
the way she wrote to you really attracted you. And I'm going to throw some things in for the interest of time. You guys had not seen each other at the point, right?
That's correct. Neither one of us had a picture on our profiles.
Right.
We were both about to delete our profiles because we hadn't, you know,
I had just started.
Right. So I had done the, you know, you have that 2-week trial period before they make you subscribe monthly. And I was going in to delete my profile when I saw her email come up. And I saw that "if you are so inclined," I'm like, let me check this out. Let me see who says this, right? And so, you know, I looked at her profile, and she answered honestly and with a sense of humor. And so that's how we connected. We started, you know, emailing from there.
Yep. And, so
and you
I
guys
just,
are probably going to talk about, yeah, I don't want to interrupt you, you guys are probably going to talk about, as we move along in this conversation, about how non-traditional some things that you guys did, not only in meeting each other, but throughout your courtship, as well as into your marriage. And isn't it funny as how we are talking in 2017, how both of us, Sharon and I, as well as you two, came together in non-traditional ways.
I was gonna mention that, Darren.
Yeah.
I was gonna mention that. Dancing on a stranger would have got you cut on the west side of Chicago, bro. I'm just throwing that out there for you.
You can only do that in the Caribbean.
Right, you can only do that in Cancun.
Yeah,
so you
right.
understand, I had to leave the country to be so bold.
Right.
That, right, okay. Yeah.
Right, right.
Exactly.
Right.
All right,
but
so you guys, we are listening, you are listening as well as watching the Unstoppable Stories Show with Terrence Leftridge. We are doing our Love Month series, and we've got our special guests this evening, the upcoming authors of the book, Do You Love Me Still?, Sean and Dorian Nash. And as we continue our conversation this evening, they're going to be talking about giving you a sneak peek at what you're going to get in this book that's going to be coming out late spring. So you definitely want to get your pen, your paper, get your favorite beverage, and hang out with a little while longer on the Unstoppable Story Show. And shout out to Freddie McWright. Freddie McWright said that they have been married a few years now. I think they said they've been married for about 6 years, going on their seventh year. My marriage and I love my wife. I've been with her for about 19 years. So shout out to you, Freddie, for sharing that with us. We've got Zelina Jones watching. We've got Patricia Smith watching.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, mother-in-law, for watching us from New Jersey. Thank you for watching the Unstoppable Story Show. We've got Casey Bizboss Candy Kondo watching us. And if you guys want to join the conversation, all you have to do, 323-870-3764 to join the conversation. Before we go to a break, but Sean, I wanted to come back to you because I need you to share this courtship story of how you and Dorian, what Dorian made you do before you even got a chance to see her. So go ahead, tell that story, Sean.
Okay, you know, after about, you know, $8,000 in phone bills, I'm like, okay, I need to meet this woman before I go into bankruptcy. And so we finally exchanged pictures, and we were talking for a while, and we had arranged for me to go out to L.A. to finally meet in person. And she was like, well, you know, that's great, but before you come out here, you got to meet my mom. And I'm like, hey, excuse me? by myself? Alone? Like,
yeah.
And she's like, mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay, you know what? You know, I've gotten this far. You know, what could go wrong, right? And so.
Plenty.
Plenty, yeah, you're right. So her mom lived in a suburb outside of Chicago, and I worked downtown, and I remember.
But hold on, let me just say this, though, really quickly. When I called my mom to say that I wanted her to meet you first, remember she said, why? I said, well, just in case he's crazy. She said, well, so you're going to send the axe murderer to my house? And
right.
I said, yep.
Right. I mean, like, this was just, I'm thinking I'm going to get shot. She thinking she going to get cut. So it's fear all the way around, right? You know, we're looking at each other sideways when I get there. So, you know, she lived about an hour outside of the city, and I worked downtown. And one rainy Thursday, I get in my car, drive out there, and, you know, got out there about, I can remember, about 7:30 or so, and I'm sitting in the living room, and she and her husband, my wife's stepdad, they're sitting on the couch, and they're just kind of looking at me, and it's silent. You know, I had my hair shaved at the time, and so the you know, stepfather, Randall, he looks at me, and he's like, yeah, you shave your hair like Michael Jordan, huh? I'm like, yes, sir, I guess so. you know, and then he said, I'm cool, I'm going to bed. And left. Right? So I'm like, okay, so now I'm just left alone with mama.
Yes.
And so we sitting.
You were halfway through the battle at that time.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, okay, this going to run smooth, right? You know, I'm like 15 minutes, I already got an endorsement. Cool, right? And so.
You silly, silly man.
Yeah. She started brewing a pot of, like, I knew I was in for it when she started brewing a pot of coffee. I'm like, am I at the police station? Because the interrogation looked like it's about to be on, right?
Right.
So she sits me at the kitchen table, and she starts, "So, Sean." And every question was "So, Sean." And we sat, and we drank coffee, and we talked, and we drank coffee, and we talked some more, and we drank coffee. And about 17 cups of coffee, and about 6 hours, 5-6 hours later.
Right.
Because I didn't leave from her house until about 1:30 in the morning.
Wow.
Answering questions.
Wait. Say that for 6 hours with her mom, and you haven't met her yet, right?
By wow. myself. One man by
myself.
In the kitchen. With mama. Oh, by myself. God. You know?
Now, if that ain't love, I don't know what is,
I
right?
No.
So she looks at me and you know, I think I did okay and got the stamp of approval. And she's like, "So Sean, we got an extra bed. You can stay here." I'm like, "No, I'm good. I'm good."
Because it would have been more.
It would have been more. Right. So I'm like, I got my own bed. I got my car right outside. I'm wide awake. Later on, you know, she wound up calling Dorian, and all she said to Dorian was, "You should meet him."
Right, that's all she told me. She said, because I wanted to know, well, what y'all talk about? What's this? You know, she's like, "No, I'm not gonna tell you that." And I still don't know. To this day, I don't know all what she asked him, and she just said, "You should meet him." And that wasn't a good enough endorsement for me to meet him. And I should say this. See, I'd been married once before, and it didn't end so well. I call it my starter marriage, right? And like you have a starter home, I had a starter marriage. And,
right.
And there were just a lot of things that I did not want to repeat into this relationship with Sean. And I'm sure some women can relate, because sometimes you can get involved with someone and he's not the right person for you. When people try to tell you he's not the right person for you, you're so far into the relationship that you can't hear them, right?
Yeah.
I love some him, right? And I didn't want to fall into that trap. And the person that I most trusted and still is outside of my husband is my mama. So I called mama and I said, "Look, I need you to intervene." Because one thing I know my mom can do is she can spot crazy from a mile away.
Even if it is an axe murderer.
Right, even if it is an axe murderer. But she can spot crazy. And I knew that if she met him and if he was worth, you know, his salt, she would be able to identify that, obviously so, because 6 hours in, you know.
Yeah, she took her time.
She interrogated,
yeah.
You know. And so I'm very, very thankful that I have that relationship with my mother. And I was very thankful that Sean was receptive, because he could have easily said, "I'm a grown man, you a grown woman, why I got to meet your mama?" He could have, you know, came out of a bag on me, which would have told me something as well. But, you know, you just never know how people are going to respond. But like I said, I just didn't want to, I guess at that point, I didn't want to allow my heart to get to some place where it didn't need to be.
And I think in order to be sincere in a relationship, these are some of the things that you have to do. It might not be something that you would normally agree to. But when you have, I mean, it depends on, you know, a couple's circumstances, and our circumstances were such that we were, you know, states apart. So, you know, you don't want to go into a beginning of a relationship and meeting and starting to establish that relationship on some level of, you know, nervousness or trust. You want to show that, you know what, I'm here to see it through as long as we can go. If this is
exactly
what I got to do, this is what I got to do.
All right. And so, again, we are hanging out with the Nashes, Sean and Dorian Nash.
With the Dorians, huh?
The yeah, you know, I do that. I do that all the time. You know, because Dorian is you. Never mind. That's a whole other conversation. So thank you guys for spending time with us. We're going to take a commercial break to thank our sponsors, Bling 10 and Lisa Adams of the I Love You Breakfast that's coming up this Saturday on February 11th. So, but when we come back on the other side, Sean and Dorian, they're going to come back and they're going to give us some tips from their upcoming book, Do You Love Me Still? So you definitely want to come back after the commercial break. And thank you guys for watching us out in Facebook Live. Tavia Free Spirit is watching. Freddie McKnight is watching and commenting on Facebook Live. Thank you so much. During the commercial break, definitely share this Facebook Live with your friends. Have them come on in. And if you are listening on Blog Talk Radio at 323-870-3764, all you have to do is hit the number 1 on your phone. We'll see it in the queue, and then we'll bring you on to the conversation if you have a question for our guests or if you just have a comment about love and encouragement. But until then, just stick and stay. We're going to be back in 2 minutes with the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge and my beautiful co-host, Sharon Johnson Leftridge, where we're talking to ordinary people with unstoppable stories. Stay tuned. The Unstoppable Story Show is sponsored by Bling 10, Brides Leaving It in Good Hands, where we offer exceptional personal assistance to brides. Can't find a dress? Need help running errands? Got a checklist that is overflowing or no checklist at all? Allow Bling 10 to tie up those last-minute loose ends. Call Tavia Jordan today at 708-654-0661 and know that help is on the way. At Bling 10, we focus on you not being bothered so that you can just be beautiful. Let us take the stress, bride, out of the most important day of your life. Hey, family. Do you believe in events that are festive and encourage the family to come together? Do you believe in events that cause the family to come together and celebrate each other and be inspired by powerful speakers? Then you need to join Lisa D. Adams, the Seed Sowing Maven, at the 2017 I Love You Breakfast at St. John's Missionary Baptist Church Banquet Hall, 1234 West 63rd Street in Chicago. It's on February 11th, 2017, beginning at 9:30 in the morning. Those interested in purchasing tickets to this wonderful event should call 773-716-6589. The tickets are only $15, and it's a worthy opportunity to come together with family to be inspired, be transformed, and be blessed. Yes, 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 indeed. I Love You Breakfast, sponsored by Lisa Adams, is going to be this Saturday, February 11th, from 9:30 to 12 at the banquet hall of the St. John's Missionary Baptist Church here in Chicago. Come out with your family for a breakfast that where you're not only going to get physically fed, you're going to get mentally and spiritually fed, and you'll really start the month off on a love note. So shout out to Lisa Adams, who's one of our sponsors, and also shout out to Tavia Jordan, Tavia Free Spirit Jordan. She is your bridal personal assistant. So married couples, if you're watching right now, you probably know some other people who popped the question. Maybe they did it over Christmas. Maybe they did it on New Year's Eve. And now they are getting ready to get married. They're putting those together. Tavia Jordan and Bling 10 is someone that you need to get in contact, because every bride needs a personal assistant. I remember you can speak more to a personal assistant. You know, if we could do it all over again, how we did our ceremony, and we did it long distance because it was in New Jersey and I was here in Chicago, and we were planning each and every night over the phone, all the details, and to just have someone to take care of the details and someone to take care of the bride, right, honey?
That's right. I definitely needed somebody taking care of me.
Yeah. And she also nurse assistant for the grooms as well, not to be outdone. So anyway, if you want to get more information on how Bling 10 can help you be your personal assistant, reach out to her at 708-654-0661. That's 708-654-0661. Or you can look at the Bling 10 page on Facebook. So we are getting back into our conversation with Sean and Dorian, the Nashes, the Nashes, the Nashes. Did I say it right, Sean?
Yeah,
that's
yes.
about right. That's about right.
Yes.
All right. So we got people that are listening online on blogtalkradio.com. I don't see any ones up. So again, if you want to make a comment or if you want to have a question and you're listening via the 323-870-3764 number, go ahead and press the number 1 on your touchtone phone. We'll see it, and then we'll try to get you on the air before the show's over. But let's switch gears and let's talk about this upcoming book you guys have. It's called Do You Love Me Still? What made you guys come up with that title, and what is the book really, what's the book about?
Well, I guess the best way that we could, is it okay I start back?
Absolutely.
Okay. So the best way that, the subtitle to the book is How We Made It Through Our First 7 Years and Beyond. And because one thing that, you know, we've been laughing and joking all night, marriage is awesome, but it's also a lot of work, and I'm sure a lot of couples can relate that what tends to be the most fragile or volatile years are those first 7, and we certainly went through our fair share of, you know, reading materials, trying to get help for our marriage and different things that we wanted to, you know, to talk about, but we didn't really see any books that really spoke specifically to those first 7 years. And so now that we're at year 17, we feel like, you know what, well, we have, you know, a bit of breadth of knowledge that, so now maybe we can help those couples that are just thinking about getting married, recently married, that might help them in some, you know, as look upon it as a resource to get information, to be able to maybe, you know, cross the bridge on some of those challenges in a way that you might otherwise not have.
So tell me this. Do you love me still? Sean, what does that mean to you when you think about that title? What does that mean?
So that portion of the title came from a Chaka Khan song.
There you go.
I recommend that everybody check it out. It's a very beautiful song.
Baby, that's our song.
Well, it could be everybody else's song too, babe. Let's make it an anthem.
So, it's called Love Me Still.
Right, it's called Love Me Still, and it's a song that really resonated with myself and Dorian. And so every time we hear it, we have to stop what we're doing and listen to it. And sometimes we dance to it, sometimes we just stare at each other and just kind of, you know, remember everything that we've gone through to get to this point. So, and we do have a song from every chapter that relates to the chapter title. So, because we have, music's a big thing in our lives. You know,
yeah.
People have P-Funk Saturday. We got P-Cake Saturday. We play music while we flipping pancakes Saturday morning, every Saturday.
Okay.
So,
all right.
Yep.
So music's still a big part of our lives. Music is a recurring theme. So we have a kind of a playlist as we're going through the book that runs with the chapters. And so the book is structured in a way to describe, and metaphorically, building a home, right? Not just a house, but building a marital home and what it takes to have a strong marital home. And so we break the book down into 3 sections: breaking ground, the foundation, and then the framework. And within each one of those sections, we talk about various vignettes as we go along over the course of our relationship and our marriage, and some of the things and some of the challenges and some things and issues that you face and how we overcame them. And so we're not therapists, we're not, you know, doctors like you mentioned before, but we do have, you know, we do have some insight. We have learned from each other, and our goal is just to provide some practical things that maybe other couples can utilize to, you know, overcome their own challenges.
Okay, I love it. And before we brought you on, you know, we talked about just as far as the marriage here for Mr. and Mrs. Unstoppable, that we recognized that there was a difference between marriage and married. So I want to throw that out to you. Dorian, do you see a difference between the marriage ceremony and being married that we should be reading about in your upcoming book?
Oh, absolutely, because I think that a lot of times people approach the altar like somehow it's going to change you. But the reality is that marriage really only amplifies who you are. So if you were a selfish person prior to the altar, then you're going to be that much more selfish in the wedding and in the marriage, I should say. First, if you have the heart that you want to be committed, then prayerfully you should be that much more, even with the obstacles and the challenges you're going to face. And so one of the things that Sean and I laughed about, the fact that because we live so far apart from one another, when we only physically met 6 times before getting married, and the 6th time, and we talk about it in the book, was at the altar.
Wow.
And so,
6 times before you got married,
right?
Huh? Okay.
Right. It, what is when I bring that, when I first brought that to Sean's attention, I said, "Babe, you realize that we only met each other 6 times? And the 6th time was at the altar, and he was like, "You kidding me?" You know, and I'm like, "No, I'm really serious." He's like, "I must have been in love," you know, but because that is just so, you know, out of the norm, and thank God for that, you know, we both had that commitment. But yes, to go back to your original question, marriage is a day-to-day love affair, and you have to put that work in to keep that love affair. I think part of the reason, you know, we were joking around with our name, but we call ourselves the Extraordinary Everyday Marriage Duo, because in order to maintain a marriage and a happy marriage, because some people are married but they're not necessarily happy, but you want to be able, and I'm very
yes,
thankful
indeed.
when I look over at my husband, that I look upon him with eyes of love and respect and a common bond. To be able to do that in these days and times is extraordinary. And I think that the mere fact that we've been able to maintain that, are we perfect? Absolutely not. Have we had stumbles and struggles? Absolutely. But there's been a tenacity that's been in our relationship that's allowed us to, you know, still maintain that love. And like I said, that in itself, that makes for an extraordinary marriage. We're still standing and that we're still in love with each other.
I love it. So you know what? One of the things that you talk about in your book, and we're not going to give the whole book away on this show because you need to buy the book, but you talked about just now that you guys saw each other 6 times before you got married. And when I think back to Sharon and I, yeah, our courtship, I think we saw each other maybe that much. Because we met in 1999 in Cancun. And I didn't see her again literally until 2001. Before that, every conversation we had was via instant message, AOL. I don't even think I called her on the phone until maybe early 2001, because I put it out there to her. She was saying to me she was never coming to Chicago. And so I said, for some reason, I told her that my birthday was coming up. And all of a sudden, she decided that she was going to come to Chicago for my birthday. And I said, "No, you're not, because you said you never coming." Next thing I know, I get an email with a flight itinerary the next day that she's coming.
She's like, "I could show you better than I could tell you."
Exactly. Sean, here comes girl power out the box. Okay.
You knew it was coming. You knew it was coming, Terry.
So she came for my birthday in April of 2001. We went to Miami in May of 2001, for which I thought it was just a two of us trip, only to find out that I was being set up to meet her sister, who also lived in Miami.
Terry, you had to do what you had to do. I understand.
Exactly. You know?
And then it went to proposing to her in May of 2001 in Miami to follow up with a real ring proposal in July of 2001. So between May of 1999 and July of 2001, we literally were face-to-face three times.
Maybe three or four. Yeah, not that many.
So that goes to speak to what you're talking about in one of the chapters of your book, which is communication.
So
tell us about the importance of communication, especially in the first 7 years of marriage.
Wow. You want to tackle that first day?
Yeah, that's loaded. So for us, you know, you go, like you said before, you go into a marriage and you are two individuals. And those individuals don't go away just because you become Mr. and Mrs. Right? So you have certain ways of approaching things and certain ways of doing things that you may not have fleshed out as a couple. And how does that work when you are now together and you're making decisions in the best interest of the partnership rather than your individual self? And so we talk about, in terms of communication, building that trust and respect for your partner and having honest communication. And sometimes, as we all know, anybody who's been married for a long time, sometimes being honest hurts.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, I do that. That annoys you, right? You know, it's like getting that comment when somebody hands you a piece of gum. Like, my breath is like that, right? It's kind of like that, right? You know, sometimes you have to have those real and honest conversations, but it has to come from a place of respect, trust, and commitment. And I think that's a theme that runs throughout our book in terms of how you communicate. And it's important to establish that early because, you know, whether you're talking about your finances, or whether you're talking about, you know, where you want to live
how you raise your kids. Yeah.
It's something that we also talk about. It's in those moments that if you've established a foundation of honest, respectful, trusting communication, that you're able to have the types of compromises that you're going to need to have in order to, you know, provide the best solutions and overcome those challenges that you meet. So we talk about that throughout our book in terms of, you know, what does that look like? What does honest communication look like? And we talk about it through our vignettes in terms of, you know, where we clashed, where we were different in terms of how we communicated and then how we changed and how we had to compromise and how we had to learn to be more patient with each other, learn to listen to each other, learn to take each other at face value instead of translating what somebody's saying to you to fit, you know, the thing that you already have in your head, right?
Right, yeah.
We talk about all of those things in terms of where you need to be in your mental state when you're dealing with your partner in terms of communication as you're going through these challenges.
And if I could add to that, I think the flip side of that is, okay, we also try to talk about what do you do when those things or that communication has been broken? Or, you know, I think about the example, babe, when we'd gone through a time like many couples did, back when through the housing crash, you know, back in 2008 and 2009 and 2010.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had gone through a very, you know, difficult financial time. And Sean had his firm had downsized. And so I'm a morning person, and let's just say my husband is not a morning person.
Brother need a cup of coffee first, I'm saying.
Right.
And so I would get up every morning and I open the shades and I say, you know, today's a great day and, you know, it's always darkest before the dawn. That was like my go-to phrase every morning because, you know.
You were happy-go-lucky, right?
We were just having this tough time, right? And I'm trying to remain positive, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it was driving my husband bananas. He was like, it's pretty darn dark, so I'm going to need you to, you know, keep your time.
I'm like, have you seen our bank account? It's dark as a month. So, you know, it did get to a point where it's like, you know what? I felt like, you know, those Daffy Duck cartoons. I hate you, right? You know, you just kind of like, you're looking at it like, stop saying that. It's killing. But it actually was the thing that helped me get through. And it's.
But you didn't know that at the time.
I didn't know it at the time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes your partner, when you have established those types of levels of communication, your partner knows exactly what to say even when you don't know it.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
And one thing that you bring out that is really the crux of what the book is all about, that in those tough times when the finances are shaky and when the communication is flaky, there comes that question of, do you love me still? Do you love me still when, you know, we're not making six figures and we're making barely five? Do you love me still when I don't know where the next job is coming from or when? Do you love me still now that you have to carry the load when it was usually the spouse that was carrying the load before then? Those
right.
questions of do you love me still are the things that you guys are talking about in this book, right?
Absolutely. And the thing of it is that, you know, as we started writing this book, we didn't approach it in a linear fashion, meaning we didn't go year one, year two, year three, because you'll hit different challenges at different points of your life, of your marriage. And so what we tried to do is try to say, hey, where are some commonalities that a lot of couples are facing in those first 7 years? Let's speak to those stories. Let's speak to those challenges, because more than likely you're going to hit these in your first seven. And there's a couple that are outside of that, and we explain that, but we still think that they're very important because it just so happened that we hit them later, but a lot of couples will hit them within their first seven. And that's why we say that, you know, the first seven and beyond. But absolutely right. At every point, in every stage, when there's growth in a marriage, you are asking yourself, do you love me still? And we wanted to try to address that in every chapter.
And the ultimate point, if I could just add one more little thing, the ultimate point that we're trying to drive home is the difference between marriage and being married is one word. It's evolution.
Mm.
Right?
That's good, babe.
Being married is an ever-evolving process. It does not end. You do not just say, well, you know what? We 20 years in. I ain't changing nothing no more. I'm about to put on my double-knit slacks. You just going to have to live with this, right? That's not how it works.
Thank God.
Right? Right. I got my outfit from my retirement. She don't even know.
Right.
But you have to constantly learn and relearn your partner. You have to constantly evolve. We do not stay the same as we get older, not as individuals nor as partners.
Right.
And you have to, in order to maintain being married and having a good marriage, you have to acknowledge that evolution and work within that evolution. And so that's what we're really driving home. Just like your dream house. Your dream house doesn't stay the same forever, right? Sometimes the kids leave. You got to repurpose a room. Sometimes you want to repaint. Sometimes you want to change the patio, right? Sometimes you build out the basement. You're ever evolving, even within that home, and marriage is no different. And so that's kind of the point that we're trying to drive home throughout the book.
I love it. Hey, you guys, you are listening to the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Lefters, and I I told you guys that this was going to be a powerful show. It is the Unstoppable Stories Love Series with Sean and Dorian Nash. Now, you know what, Sean and Dorian, the show can go for 90 minutes if you guys can go for 90 minutes. We don't have to cut it at an hour, so you tell me.
Let's go.
I'm ready.
Let's go. My lovely ride or die partners, you know, she still has another life that she has to get to, so she may not stay the whole session. But you know what? Before she goes, we do have a caller on, hit that number one on their touchtone phone. Oh, well, I guess the caller couldn't hang on long enough. So, you know what? I'm going to go to a random call and see if someone wants to make a comment. So we've got a caller from the 708 area code with the last four digits. 5921. Caller, you are live on the Unstoppable Story Show. Do you want to say your name, and do you have a question or a comment for our guest?
Well, actually, I'm Dorian's mother.
Hey, Ma.
Hi, Sean. How are you? I have been listening to you guys, and I have truly enjoyed every moment of it. Sean, I heard you telling that story about all the questions and all the coffee that you drank that morning. That
it was
night,
$6,
brother.
Mom. You got to admit that. Got to own that, Mom. It was $6.
And, you know, he really was telling the truth. I don't really have a question, but I just say, you guys, you continue doing what you're doing and be happy.
I love it. Hey, Ma, and I call you Ma affectionately. So were you happy to find out he wasn't an axe murderer?
Yes, I was very happy to find that out, John.
Well, we thank
you were,
you so much.
You were very gracious and very nice. I of course, Dorian didn't tell you that she called about three times before you left that night.
You, okay, Ma, you say that's enough.
Okay, you guys continue on then. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate you sharing a comment on the Unstoppable Story Show. That was pretty good.
What is the likelihood that you would pick my mom? That's so funny.
I tell everybody, it ain't me, it's God. So you guys, you're listening to and you are watching the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Lefferts. And just like that, you too can be a part of the conversation. We are going into the after party of the Unstoppable Story Show. So you can still get in at area code 323-870-3764. 323-870-3764. Shout out to Lisa Battles, who is watching on Facebook Live. Freddie McKnight, he's still hanging out with us. We have Tavia Free Spirit. She said, I love the power that comes from a loving couple. Once again, Unstoppable Show. Thank you so much, Tavia. Let's see. Gwen Cunningham said, awesome show. And so we've got people watching, we've got people responding, and it's not too late for you to come on and join the conversation. So we're going to get back right into the conversation and let the Nash just give us another great tip, a sneak peek from the book, Do You Love Me Still? And Sean, we just talked about communication, but there's another point, another chapter that you really wanted our audience to hear about. So why don't you give us another tip right now?
So I think I want to talk about, we have a chapter called Mind-Blowing Decisions, right? Any of the old school hats out there know where that song comes from, right? Mind-blowing.
Right.
Don't start stepping yet, Terrence. Don't y'all start stepping.
Right,
show,
step
but,
is on.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
It's about what we faced right before I proposed. We broke up for a short period of time, and it was
4 days.
4 days, right? Wow.
But it was based on ideologies, and we were a part on that. And where our spirit lied at the time. There was the idea of what commitment we had to define that for each other, and we ran into a conflict on that. You know, for me, when I had never been married, and I didn't think the idea of marriage and on the ring and saying I do was as significant as the commitment. But, you know, from, you know, Dorian's standpoint, the marriage did mean having that ring did mean an extra element of commitment that I didn't see at the time. And so, you know, she was involved with a particular church that I didn't necessarily subscribe to, didn't agree with their ideology, and they were kind of trying to steer her to date and marry someone from her church.
Right.
So for me, you know, I got to a point where we were back and forth, and I just said, you know, if it comes to that, at one point I said, if it comes to that, you know, I'd just rather be your friend.
Right.
You know, and then as we discussed it further, it's like, you know, when we broke up, I felt kind of cheated, right? You know, I know God put me woman in my sights, right, and gives me this insight into her heart only to have this church or this institution that I don't necessarily believe in or subscribe to in terms of how they practice their faith get in the way, right? And I was like, man, you know, God, that's, I mean, like, I don't know if you're laughing, but this ain't all that funny, man. Like,
yeah, you know. And I love that you share that part of the story, and I love how the whole book, and for you guys who's watching on Facebook Live and you guys who are listening, the book, each chapter has a song that is related to what we call the song in their key of their life. And they're using the songs to not only tell a story to you guys in the book, but to bring home the lessons of story. And this chapter really talks about how, you know, you really have to have that faith, you have to have that trust in the relationship and in the foundation that you're building if you want that foundation, if you want that structure, if you want that house of love to last. And, you know,
right.
I haven't told you guys this, Sean and Dorian, but Sharon and I, we have our own love song. And our love song is Let No Man Put Asunder. And for everybody in Chicago who's house heads, y'all know that song, Let No Man Put Asunder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We jam to that song all the time. But it's also biblical. And it really speaks to the story, Sean, that you were just telling right now. Because if it is for you, if that person is for you, there is nothing that man, i.e. that church, could have done to stop it from happening. But we live in this microwave society. We live in this time that says that if we can't have it in 1 minute, if we can't have it in 2 minutes, if we've got to work to have it, then we don't want it. When, in the words of a good friend of mine, Dr. Ed Womack says, sometimes you've got to bake it and not microwave it. That means you've got to let it do what it's got to do.
Right. We didn't tender. We macked. We couldn't just swipe left, right?
Right. You had to put the work in.
You had to put the work in. And so, you know, we did eventually, you know, lucky for me, to be honest with you, because Dorian was the one, again, to reach out first to try to bridge the gap. And, you know, bless her soul, she made a determination that she'd rather have a life with me than a life without me.
That's right, baby.
And so, you know, I lucked out on that. That came to me. I was all prepared to, like, hold my ground and the stubborn guy. And you know, we had to talk, but we had to talk. What does, if we go on this path, what does spirituality look like to us?
Right.
How are we going to how are we going to find common ground? Whether it's you know, because I practiced Buddhism for a while and I grew up in a completely Baptist family. You know, grandfather was a deacon of the church, so we was there from sun up to sundown and had chicken dinners in the basement with him, right? so had a view of a lot of different worlds, and so we have learned over time how to combine our collective spiritualities to be able to have a spiritual home for us as partners and for our children.
Right. And I think, you know, if I could, you know, just add one point.
Go ahead.
Coming from a church background, and I'm sure a lot of people can relate, this was a moment for me to understand what it meant to have my faith and as opposed to what it meant to attend a church. And I think up until that moment, I thought that they were the one and the same. But
right.
I learned so much that it was not, that my faith and the church that I attend are not one and the same. But it is my faith that I have every day of my life in terms of how I treat other people, in terms of how I serve God that I know, the God that I've learned about, the God that I serve and worship, as opposed to where I happen to go to church every Sunday. And that was a mind-blowing lesson for me at that time. And in a lot of ways, I'm extremely grateful that we did take that time to break up. And it was 4 days. It wasn't a long time. But it's what was needed for both of us to recognize, okay, what is that we both share in our spirituality, but what is it that I truly believe?
Yeah.
And sometimes to move forward, you got to know what it is that you believe, what it is that you want for your, not only for you emotionally, but mentally, spiritually, all of those things have to be considered. And so we try to speak to that in that chapter, that, you know, here's a situation where we really had to face those obstacles, because they weren't coming from within, even though we had to turn it within, but the issues were coming from outside of our relationship. And then what do you do with that?
Love it, love it. You're listening to the Unstoppable Story Show, the After Party, with Terrence Leftridge and our guest this evening, Sean and Dorian Nash, the authors of the upcoming book, Do You Love Me Still? Going to be coming out in late spring. So definitely, you know what, tell them the website where they can connect with you guys right now, and then we are going to take another call. So, Dorian, where can they connect with you guys right now, even before the book comes out?
So hit us up on Twitter at feedyourspirit_, or hit our blog page at feedyourspiritmedia.com. And part of the reason that we call it Feed Your Spirit, I also happen to be a playwright. And so sometime in 2017, we'll also have a play of the same name, Do You Love Me Still? So be on the lookout for that as well.
All right. So we're going to post that book live feed, as well as we'll share on the after show. So we got a caller from the 901 area code with the last four digits, 8744. Caller, you are on the line. Do you have a comment or a question?
I just want to say I love y'all. Y'all my big cousin. It was actually my mother that met Sean first for Dorian.
What's up, Anthony?
Dorian, what's up? I love y'all.
Love you too, man.
I love y'all. All the way from Memphis. I love y'all. Y'all are awesome.
Wow. So what's your name again, sir?
My name is, I go by a lot of names, but my government name is William.
Hey,
Wade. He calls me Anthony.
Your family
or
name is Bud.
Right, but the family calls him Bud.
Bud.
So what do you want to share with us about the Nashes and their 17 years of marriage from all the way from Memphis, from seeing it from there? What do you see about their marriage that's special?
They are the most comedic couple. If you get them two in the same room, the jokes will never stop. The jokes will never stop. And I'm going to put the Dorians on everything from now on.
I know. I knew that was coming.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life, the Dorians.
Okay. Well, William, we thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. So, again, hopefully you'll be listening to the Unstoppable Story Show in the future. But thank you so much for sharing your comment with us tonight, okay?
No problem.
All right.
That's
all
a,
right.
Are you 2 for 2, Terrence? You picking all my family.
Well, you know, people who call in, that's who call in, right? So... And that's what we do here on the Unstoppable Story. So, you know, your story is so powerful that people want to continue to hear it. We've got Freddie McWright, who is listening while he's cooking dinner for his wife right now. He loves the show. He said he's addicted to the show. We've got Sade Jarrett, who's watching on Facebook Live right now. And so, you guys, you know, the message is resonating. People want to know about how they can help in the first 7 years of their marriage, how they can get past the Do You Love Me Still episodes that I would dare say each and every marriage will go through at some point.
Yeah.
You keep on being married, and there's going to come a point where you're going to be tested. There's going to come a point where the marriage is going to be tested. There's going to come a point, as you guys talk about in the book, where you break up, where you may want to separate. And there may be a point in your marriage where you're going to have to go through something that is just going to make you stronger as a result of going through it together. So this book is definitely right on time, and we're glad that you guys are sharing just a sneak peek of it right now. So as we come down the pipe, talk about one. We're just going to give them one more tip from the book, and then they're going to have to get the rest themselves.
I would say that one of the overall arching theme that we want to express is, you know, we talk about, you know, you got to build a great footing, a foundation, and a framework. Because one of the things that we recognize is that when you're talking about building a marriage, and you know, like you build a home, there's a standard that is expected when you build a home. And I think one of the reasons why so many marriages get into the crosshairs is they don't have an opportunity or don't know how to establish that standard for their marriage. And that may not be the same. That standard may not be the same for every marriage, but you got to have one. You know what I'm saying? And I think that we're just trying to speak to that, because a lot of times people will, you know, literally fall into a relationship, fall into a marriage, and, you know, a lot of us, you know, because you don't get a set of instructions when you get married. But
not at all.
Need, right. It would be helpful, but you don't get that. But so you either are looking at the role models that you already, you know, that you grew up with. Some of them might have been toxic or unhealthy, or maybe you don't have a role model, you know, at all. But you can still build one between you and your partner and build that standard, build that framework that is on a solid footing. And I think that is, you know, what we're really trying to express in this book. And in a lot of the ways, you know, in one particular chapter that was very difficult for us to write is it was dealing with our children. And we went through a very, very, very difficult time with them. And anybody knows that has children, nothing hurts you more when you feel helpless when dealing with your children. But what makes it even more harder to get through is when you're faced with a situation that may involve your children, or it may not even necessarily be specifically your children, but you're faced with an obstacle that your previous methods no longer work. And maybe you and your spouse now have to kind of adjust the way that you've done things previously, and you're butting heads. And we speak
right.
about that, about learning how to evolve when you've got to change with the because the situation demands that you change. And that if you
wow.
don't change, it could possibly mean the demise of your marriage. And so, you know, we faced those issues. We, you know, when we thought about it and we started talking about writing this book, you know, we faced, you know, job loss, we faced bankruptcy, we faced, you know, moving. We, you know, when we were talking earlier about the fact that we moved, you know, that I was in California at the time and Sean was in Chicago, and my cousin who just called in, he's absolutely right. It was his mom, I sent a care package to his mom, to Sean. And, hey, Sherry, listening. But, you know, just the fact that we had to, again, put that work in. But those things, they were cute and all of that. But when we got into a certain other part of our marriage, that no longer worked. You know, the cute care
right.
package, we had something different. And we had to learn each other all over again. And I think a lot of times, you know, people say in a marriage, well, you know, he's no longer the person I fell in love with. But you know what? More than likely, you're not either.
Exactly.
And that's okay. But learning how to grow with those changes.
So we get comfortable, and we, you know, we talk in one chapter about being true to yourself and what does that mean.
Yes.
Right? And
yeah.
and being comfortable in your skin, and like Dorian was saying, having that standard and starting to create that blueprint that you want to see for the rest of your life.
Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Part of, you know, as we change and get into being married, and as opposed to the new smell of marriage, right? You're married now, so how do we operate this thing? You have to. You're going to need to evolve, and sometimes that is just like when you're coming true to yourself and learning what that means. You have to ask some tough questions of yourself at the beginning before you get married. How do you view things? Is that really what you want? Do you even meet the standards that you're seeking?
Oh, that's a great point, yeah.
Right?
Share that story, babe.
Well, you can share that story because that was your list.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But, you know, as you evolve over the marriage, you also have to now start answering some tough questions. But this time, it's with feedback from your partner, right? It's with feedback
yeah.
from your partner saying, you know what, I know you do this and this makes you comfortable, but it makes me cry. Right?
Right,
or it hurts me, and so this is what you can do to still get your point across and communicate with me without hurting,
right?
And you have to sit there, either whether you're man or woman, and you have to take that, and, you know, you have to take that, and you have to take it to heart. And sometimes it hits your pride, sometimes it runs counter to what you thought you would, what you used to think, I should say, was being true to yourself. But at the same time, those are the things that you, those are the analyses, that's the introspection, that's the analysis and the feedback that you need to take and use in order to help you to be the type of spouse that your partner needs.
Right. And you, like you said before, it's the evolution and it's the communication. And it's recognizing that, you know, the person you were before you got into the relationship is not going to be the same person. A 1 year into the relationship is not going to be the same person. 3 years into the relationship is not going to be the same person. 17 years into the relationship. But guess what? Neither is the other person. Those are great points, and those are great things that people really need to hear, and they really need to know before they say I do. Because if you don't answer the questions before you say I do, more than likely you're going to have a lot of days saying, do you love me still? After you get married.
Absolutely.
So
we all like to look in the mirror, right, every morning and see the same cat that we saw 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, in my mind, I still think I can bench press 225, three sets, no problem, bang them out. That's not the truth.
Yeah.
Baby, you can
do it. No, I'm keeping it real, baby. I can't.
Baby, you can do it.
No, not without going to the hospital. So,
right.
You know, you have to have a realistic look at yourself at all times. And that, like I said, as you evolve, you have to look in the mirror and make some realistic, you know, observations about yourself. You're not that same 22-year-old that fell head over heels in love with your spouse, and your spouse isn't that person either. Hopefully, you've grown, you know. Like Muhammad Ali said, you're still doing the same thing at the age of 50 that you're doing at the age of 20, then you have wasted 30 years of your life.
Exactly.
You know, it's within that framework that you have to realistically look at yourself as you're going through your marriage.
Yeah, and I just want to add really quickly, I wanted to make sure I get this point in, that, and you mentioned it just a minute ago, Sweetie, that we talk about it in the book, but there was a, and I know many women have done it, and I did it too. I wrote out this list of what I wanted in a man. And I mean, my list was, right, from his smile to, you know, what type of I wanted him to be, with all of that. And then when I got done with that list, and I looked it over, and I said to myself, I said, this man is too good for me. You know, because I wasn't, all the things that I wanted him to be, I needed to make some assessments myself. So I turned the paper over, and then I started writing some things down of that I needed to improve. I started to write some things down that I wanted, some goals to happen in my life, so that when that man came into my life, whenever he did, or if never he did, that's, I didn't say that the right way, did I? If he never showed up, but that I needed to be ready and prepared for if he did, but if he never showed up, that I needed to be better.
Right.
And I think a lot of times, you know, we get into a relationship or we're only looking at it one-sided. Well, he needs to be this, he's making this type of money, he needs to be this way, he needs to be that. But you living at your mama's house, you don't have a car, you're not
right.
doing anything.
Right. Your credit
right.
bad.
Yes, right.
You
know, what are you bringing to the table?
What are you
That's
bringing
exactly
to the
it.
Table? And so the onus cannot just be on the other person. You got to have, you know, a stake in the relationship as well.
Like you may have a standard for who you want, but do you meet that standard yourself?
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
You got
it. If you were being introduced to the person that you had on this list, if that person was being introduced to you, would they want to be with you, even though they have everything that you want from them? That's the thing. That's the problem that why most marriages fail, because it's one-sided. You know, a lot of people go into relationships and they go into marriages because they want that other person to complete them. No other person can do that for you. You have to be complete before you completely give yourself to somebody else. You know, we say in the world of marriage that 1 + 1 = 1. It doesn't equal 2. You got to be able to come You got to come with your 100%, and that other person has to come with their 100%, and together you create a new 100%. Now that doesn't mean that each and every day that Sean is 100% and Dorian's 100%. Sometimes Sean may be 60%, and then Dorian's got to be 140% to bring that balance. Some days in this household, you know, I'm 20%, and then my wife is the other 180% to bring that 100% back into balance. That's
you love
what
being
forced.
You love being forced for dinner, aren't you?
Yeah.
You
get
20%. You love being fake.
You know, this ain't my first radio show, okay?
Doghouse points. Dude, I love it.
So, you know, as we're winding down, because we got about 7 minutes left in the after party, I really want you guys to take the time now to tell people why, whether they are thinking about getting married, whether they have been married for a short period of time, whether they've been married 17 years, even if they've been married 50 years, why should they get a copy of the book, Do You Love Me Still, when it comes out later on this spring?
Well, because as you could tell from this radio show, we are wild. So that's one, right? Let's keep it real. We are entertaining. So the book will be the same. But more importantly,
and he's modest.
Right, hey, look, I'm unstoppable.
Clearly.
So, you know, the book will be the same. But more importantly, I think we want to reinforce and resonate and maybe show some new things, add some new tools for even people who have been married for 50 years who have been doing it a certain way and say, hey, I never saw that perspective. I think because we've had such a unique courtship, mm-hmm. and we've had such a unique set of circumstances as we've gone through our marriage, I think we add a different perspective that may not have been articulated before in other books. And so I think we want to add our voice to that arena and really not only show what it takes to have the bond that I think me and my wife have, but to help others to always strive to continue to improve the bonds that they have in their own marriage.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Darren, you want to add on to that?
I'm gonna put on my Bernie Mac. Let me talk to America right now.
Okay.
America, you listening? But in all seriousness, I think that I totally agree with what my husband just said. But at the end of the day, we know that there are couples that are out there that are considering marriage, and or newly married couples that are just feeling floundering in their situation. We think that our book speaks to some of those obstacles and some of those challenges in a entertaining but yet helpful way, not to preach at you, not to judge you, but simply to say, hey, here's our obstacle. Here's how we dealt with it. Maybe it can help you.
And we were honest with ourselves, right?
Right.
I mean, we had to. There are some passages in the book where I'm like, man, I don't want to tell people this, man. This reflects on me,
yeah.
Right?
I got. I understand.
But we are open, and we are our book is an open book of ourselves, and so
right.
I think. You might listen to a therapist and get a lot of different exercises and things to do, but without having that example of someone opening up themselves to bring you in, to show you that you're not alone in dealing with these challenges, right, and that practical things and practices that you can use to help maybe overcome your own challenges, I think that's what's unique about our book.
Right, because we're not coming from a particular angle. We're simply trying. Cause we believe that a truthfulness and just being open will only breed that much more truthfulness and openness.
Well, I thank you both, Sean. Go ahead, Sean. You guys are breaking up a little bit. Go ahead.
No, and then I was just saying, hopefully the reader will be able to see that how, based on our openness and how we lay ourselves open, reader. That it encourages them to do the same with their partner.
Okay. So give them that website one more time where they can have a conversation with you guys now, even before the book gets created and
absolutely.
Out on the show.
So you can hit us up on Twitter at FeedYourSpirit_, or hit our blog account at FeedYourSpiritMedia.com.
FeedYourSpiritMedia.com. Well, you know what? I thank you guys. I thank you, Sean. I thank you, Dorian. Full exposure here. I've had the opportunity to meet Dorian. Dorian came to one of my workshops last year, but I haven't had the opportunity to meet Sean. But while we have been working on this project, which is a story that you guys, I have to come to another live stream for. I feel like you guys you're not just clients, you're friends, and we are fast approaching family with the stories that we've been able to share with each
yes.
other. So I'm looking forward to this book. And I thank you guys so much for being on the Unstoppable Story Show. You guys have an unstoppable week, okay?
You too, and
yes.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. Thank you so much.
Not a problem. So, you guys, that's a wrap. the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge in our love series this month. Joe, come back next week where we're going to be talking about self-love. And then the week after that, we're going to be talking about you're worthy of love. And then finally, we're going to end the month talking about loving your purpose. Because if you love your purpose, you're going to walk in your purpose. And then what does the shirt say? You're going to reign in your unstoppable purpose. But until we connect again, I don't want you guys to fall out of love. I want you to continue to discover love and ask the question, do you love me still in all your relationships? And as always, dream big, aim high, and believe in the impossible. And never, ever, ever forget that you can be unstoppable. Thank you to my lovely wife for being a part of the show this evening. She's cooking a great dinner now, so I gotta go. You guys have a great week, and here's to living your life on the next level.